Welcome, everyone. This is episode 5, I think, of Teams Friday. It is Friday, the 7th of January. Happy New Year, everyone. So I'm joined today by Michael and Jimmy and myself. We are the three amigos for today. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic. I'm about to go on a mini vacation, St. Augustine, Florida, tonight, which is the oldest city in America, as best I understand it, actually in the U.S., I guess in America, I should say in the United States, and it goes back to 1500 something, which is like the dark ages for this continent, at least for
I love St. Augustine. There's that fort right on the waterway right there. It's a beautiful city.
Yep. So we're going there, and then Sunday, ultimately, the goal is to go to Jacksonville, Florida, cheer the Indianapolis Colts on against the Jaguars, as the Colts will lock up their playoff bid, seed, location, whatever.
But you're going to leave your mini fridge home, right?
I am leaving the Xbox mini fridge is home. It is still providing cool drinks. So
how was the test results of the Xbox mini fridge from the last?
You know,
episode?
I was going to do a whole thing because I just had no confidence. Like, I got it, started reading the instructions, had buyer's remorse immediately. I'm like, what is this thing? And it's been off and on, you know, it's been working great since last month when we talked about it and I got it. So I got a stack of drinks in there. Every time I reach in, it's cold or cold enough. So no problem.
Would you recommend I rush out and buy an Xbox
fridge? No. Depends on your need. It is still a bit of a novelty due to the size. It is a bit of a novelty. So if you do need proper refrigeration, don't. But if you want to have something fun that'll keep a couple of cans of drink cold, it does keep beer at a proper temperature. I've validated, proven that. So it's a novelty, but it's a fun novelty.
I saw that they made a full size Xbox fridge years ago, and I thought about, well, wouldn't that be nice for the kitchen with a real Xbox right next to it for the TV that's in the kitchen that I have. Because wherever I go, I have a TV. I mean, let's be real. That's my life. So,
Did they make the Xbox? Didn't they make a large one first and then?
Yeah, like Snoop Dogg got one, I believe.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, and a couple important people, you know, marketing people got the big ones.
Yeah, the mini fridge ones. I don't get, but kudos to you. Kudos for you for reviewing it.
I'm thinking about taking it on the drive to St. Augustine because it is a cooler and it has a car charger. So I can keep drinks cool in the car. So I'm just throw it in the back seat, and then when we need a drink, just reach in the back and grab it and use it like a cooler, which is one of the use cases because it's technically not a mini fridge, it is a electric cooler, is the actual term.
You guys in Florida need that up here in the
It's a 3.5 hour
3 inches of snow. So
3.5 hour drive, 3 inches of snow. Good lord.
Nine.
So the only place I know in Florida is Orlando from being in the UK. That's the only place I've been in Florida, so I was wondering how far it is for you.
Yeah, we get to drive through Orlando. It's about an hour and a half drive from here. But we get to drive through, hopefully not during rush hour, but I think it's going to be in the middle of Orlando rush hour, which isn't going to be great, but whatever.
And you can make sure you've got a cold drink for the journey.
Exactly.
So, Jimmy, welcome. Your first time
Thank
on
you.
Teams Friday. Do you want to introduce yourself quickly for everybody, all the millions of people that listen to this podcast?
Absolutely. My name is Jimmy Vaughn. I'm a partner technical specialist here at Microsoft. We're Microsoft Teams Rooms. You've probably seen me on the MTD AMA that I do with Graham and Michael and Nate and everybody else here at Microsoft. Just what part of the community. Martin, I actually reached out to you to say, hey, how do you do the podcast? Because I want to start doing a podcast with a couple of people in my group as well. So look for us, follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. Michael, Martin, we're all active on there. And if you find us, you'll know where to get the news.
Yeah, Jimmy, you mentioned MTD AMA. And since I write docs articles now, apparently, we have to define what it is before we can use the abbreviation. So that's the Microsoft Teams devices. Ask me anything. And if you just go to Bing, type in MTD AMA, it is the first hit to sign up
Which is great. All the spiders have grabbed that acronym and know exactly what it is already.
Yep.
we'll have a look at some. We've got some topics here that I've picked out. So in meetings, it's launched and rolling out you can now see the order of raised hands in a meeting. So now we don't have to rush and pick through, oh, who raised the hand first? It actually puts numbers on the hands, which is quite nice. Nice little touch.
Do you know how many people think that is the greatest thing that we've released in like the last year? I mean, it really seems like such a minuscule task, but to do that in the back end is nothing short of significant for the engineering teams to actually do this, but it's such a benefit to people that are holding these meetings. I mean, we've all been part of those meetings and everything else that have 1,000 people on it. You get the 400 hands up. You never know who's first and everything else, but you sort of try to manage it. And the way that I've tried to manage in the past is through the chat group, the chat cycle. And yeah, the first question, and we answer that and going through. But just having that order is significant, even to a 10-person meeting.
Yeah, I think it does, when you raise your hand, it does put you to the top of kind of the roster, but now you've got your numbers on it. So that's a nice little touch on top of the hand raise feature, which is quite cool. There's been some improvements also to meeting recordings. So there's multi-speed playback, high quality transcriptions, index recordings, auto recordings. And there's also a new blog article on the Teams tech community about auto expiration as well. So a lot of improvements to recording. I think this is coming from when the meetings recordings were in Stream, or could still be in Stream, but they default now into SharePoint and OneDrive. So the big one is there is a change coming for auto expiration of Teams meeting recordings. And it says in the blog post, this is due to overwhelming customer requests. And they're introducing meeting recording auto expiration feature, which will automatically delete Teams recording files stored in OneDrive and SharePoint after a preset period of time.
Yeah, to me the announcement's the coolest is the auto recording. So you just set every one of my meetings to just start recording. Okay. So instead of, because my team, we have a team meeting every other Friday, and my manager has a PowerPoint, and literally his second slide is, don't forget to click record meeting, so that he can kind of reminds himself to click record. So it solves that problem. But then Martin, to what you call out the most exciting for you is, if you're recording every meeting and you don't have unlimited OneDrive space.
Yeah, so the new recordings will automatically expire 60 days after they are recorded if no action is taken, except for A1 users who will receive a max 30-day default setting. It says the 60-day default was chosen because on average, across all tenants, 99% plus of all meeting recordings were never watched after 60 days. So somebody's done some analytics on this, by the looks of it. But an admin can change this. So if you need to go and change it, you can. But just be careful, this is coming. And I did see that there's a message center post for this as well. So there's a blog article I'll put in the notes of the podcast. So go check that out, this change that is coming to meeting recordings.
Any feature that has the word auto in it is got to be a good one, right?
Cool.
Auto recording, auto deletion.
We're doing it for you.
Automatically record all our meetings. We can automatically delete them.
The other bit I do like, one of the improvements, the multi-speed playback. I did notice when meeting recordings moved from Stream to OneDrive or SharePoint, I couldn't do the 1.5, 2 times right. speed. Or if I'm listening to some people, I have to half speed it. But so that is there. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's nice to see. And then, that's all really for the meetings topics. Devices, this is where I'm hoping you, Per, can call out and help me in some of these. So there's a few for Teams rooms, meeting room capacity notifications.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool one.
Big request.
So it's basically, you have to have a smart camera. So not every single, this isn't just like a thing you can turn on. So something in the room has to count how many people are in the room. So smart cameras are the way that is done.
Is so that the intelligent cameras?
Intelligent, whatever. I guess intelligent cameras. They will then, you know, they've got the intelligence built in to detect a human from a picture of a poster of a human. So to help avoid miscounting. So there has to be movement and things like that. And it's not just someone moved their mouth. It's, you know, some people just attend a meeting, just kind of fall asleep and don't move. The camera's still able to tell the difference between them and the poster on the wall, you know, the HR poster for whatever. So what happens is that value then gets shoved up to the team service. And then it can either just display it on the front of room display. It'll say, hey, the room has met capacity. But what really is cool is if you take a Teams display and hang it outside the conference room in the hallway, it will then flash up and as well and say, hey, this many people are in the room, or the room is full. Like, don't come in. And that's a lot of that is for COVID reasons. So you have a conference room that seats 12 people, but for COVID, you only allow 4 people in the room so that everybody is properly spaced. That will help prevent the fifth person from walking in, or they have to open the door and say, hey, can somebody leave so I can come in? It's my time to join the meeting. Or, you know, obviously you can just walk in too if everybody's cool with it. But that is the point of that, which then also leads to analytics. So there's a lot of concern over, are our conference rooms even being used? Are they being overused, underused? Can we rearrange? Can we scale down the equipment in one room because it doesn't get used often, and scale up the equipment in another room because it looks like it's used all the time? Right now, it's just kind of word of mouth, or maybe, but yeah, because you can't even harvest Outlook meeting invites because people may not even show up to the room. So it's like, oh, look, that room's booked all the time. But then you find out only 2 people are ever in the 15-person room, or nobody. People end up just taking it from their desk and not going into the room. So you can say, hey, we have too many conference rooms, not enough. We have too many big ones, too many small ones, et cetera, based off the metrics of this report. So there's a lot to it beyond just flashing a banner saying the room is full.
This is a whole industry that's actually been around for years. And it's exciting to see the technology sort of leapfrog, because if you think about how this was done before, you would have a sensor, a different sensor that would sit on the ceiling. And one might be an occupancy sensor. Another one might be a people counting sensor. And those would be delivered to an outside service that would then have how many people can fit inside of the room and everything else. Now you're defining the capacity of my room inside of Teams Admin Center, and you're saying, hey, I don't need an extra sensor. I can take the existing camera that's actually inside of the room, and I can count the head and shoulders of people that are inside of the room, deliver that to the Teams Admin Center. The Teams Admin Center then can make a decision, like Michael said, on is this the capacity? Is this over capacity? Then send alerts. But not only that, you're taking the idea that people actually showed up to the meeting. And what Michael and Martin, one of the things that came to Outlook, I think it's out, I forget, or we just announced it, is the idea when you respond to a meeting, am I going to be in person or am I going to be remote? And all of these things are now helping that hybrid work scenario that we've all been talking about for the last 6 months, because we know meetings are both ways, where they're in person and they're remote, and not everybody's going to show up. But not only that, when you do show up, let's make sure that everybody's safe inside of that room and everything's sort of there. And let's make sure that those meeting rooms are actually being used. To Michael's point, this is a whole industry that used to actually run. And now it's being merged inside of technology that you're putting in to actually run your Teams meetings. And there's no extra added, oh, I got to add this, I got to do this, I got to do this. They're taking those smart cameras and they're actually using it as sensor capabilities to just say, hey, the AI can determine these are the people inside of the room. And then you take the smart capabilities on top of that and you say, hey, paired with an intelligent speaker, I might know who is actually inside of the room. So there's a lot of capabilities that are coming. You can just see the edge of the thing that we're scratching right now, where we're just getting there and we're getting all these things. And when all of this ties together, if you have Teams and you don't have Teams rooms, or you just put in like a PC and put in a PC peripheral or something like that, you're losing out on all of these analytics that you probably are paying some other service to do for you.
Yep. And from an admin point of view, there's 2 things you have to do. One, have an intelligent camera. And I'm jumping ahead, but something like the Jabra Panacast 20 is pretty small, pretty light thing that you can just affordably put into the room. So yes, you may have to buy new cameras in all your rooms to take advantage of this. But if you're renovating, or you know, you take a small investment in something like the Panacast, you can easily do that. And then from the admin side, like, what else do we have to do? You have to go to your resource account, and there's a section in there, and it says room size. Put a value in there, and that's it. So if you're creating rooms now, if you're creating resource accounts now, go ahead and fill out that. What is the size of the room? Or how many people do we want in the room? So it could be, again, a 20-person, 20 chairs in the room. Just set the resource account value to 7 or whatever, and then that's all you need to do. So really, there's no additional software to install, no major anything. It just kind of works, assuming you have the right hardware and you've added that value.
Yeah, I've seen that there's been some additions to the roadmap as well, particularly on Teams panels. Checkout for Teams panels. So I think that's also looking at, you know, if nobody's using that room, you can check it out and return it back to the inventory. That's what it says.
Ghost meetings are huge. Think about real estate and facilities who right now don't know how many people are going to be inside of the office or remote people. So they're trying to plan. Remember, a physical space is a 3 to 5 year plan for many, many places. And if you don't know where all of this stuff is going, like many organizations don't right now, how are you planning for your conference rooms in the future if you don't know how many are used? And ghost meetings, what many people do is say, hey, I'm going to the office, let me just book this room all day for myself. And it could be a 20-person room. So now you know how many people showed up to the room. Did they actually show up to the room? Because if they don't, I'll be able to take that meeting off and somebody will be able to use it. This is a huge financial impact to the real estate and facilities organizations that you'll be able to do just through the Teams Admin Center.
Yeah, and especially, and we're starting to really spiral this conversation out, but yeah. With this hybrid thing, people working from home, people are, our companies are giving up real estate. And so now it's like, how many can we, you know, can we get, we had 10 conference rooms. Can we get away with 7, 5, 4? And then so on the Teams panel, just like, hey, nobody's in this room, I'm just going to cancel this meeting and create my own right now. You can now kind of more easily overbook rooms because people didn't show up. So it's let's just grab this space real quick as we're walking down the hall. It looks like there's a meeting. No one's checked in. It's the meeting's been going for 20 minutes. Let's just tell the panel we're going to take over.
Okay. Is there been... So split video layout across multiple screens for Teams rooms on Windows.
Yeah, this goes back a long time. The product group, they never liked it, and they got a lot of customer feedback that historically, if you have two displays in your conference room, you know, one on the right, one on the left, hanging on the wall, the one on the left was dedicated to showing people's video feeds. So right, people have their cameras turned on and whatever, or the other conference room you're talking to, that video feed. The other screen was dedicated to content. So you're sharing a desktop, you're sharing a PowerPoint. Now, if no one was sharing any content or if no cameras were on, you had a black screen. So let's say the cameras were on. So one monitor shows four people's faces. The other monitor is black because nobody's sharing anything. So it seems like, shouldn't that do something? You know, if there's no shouldn't we do something? So that had always bugged the product group and customer feedback. So that is really the genesis of this. So now if you have 8 people's video on, it'll put 4 on one screen, 4 on the other until someone shares shares content. Then it'll kind of go back to that people on one side, content on the other. But in a lot of meetings, there isn't content shared. It's just a discussion and people taking notes on their laptop. They don't need to share in. So let's and then since you have two monitors, the faces are larger. They're not crammed into one 55-inch monitor. Now you've got them spread out nicely across two 55-inch monitors or whatever size monitor you have. So that is a much much requested and great feature.
But particularly optimizing the use of two screens for the video gallery if you're not sharing content. So.
And layouts are a huge thing. This month we got front row coming, guys.
I saw that added to the roadmap and the date was January. I think it was added into that. I was like, whoa, people will be very excited about that.
Yeah. And that's a whole other discussion. We'll talk maybe next week, next month, and talk about
that next week.
Jimmy's all over this one already. Yeah. So we'll talk about we'll table this one for when it gets released.
Yeah.
Hot desking on Teams display. So
this is in early rings internally. I haven't seen it yet, but the concept is similar to you know, there's always been back hot in the day, desking. You would reserve a cube or something.
Yeah.
Well, now you can reserve the device as well. So you could say you reserve the device, now you get this cube to work out of for the day. Ties in with Teams Display. There's a lot coming to Teams Display. I think we talked about it last time.
We did with the portal. You put Display on portal
Yep, Facebook portal has Display. We're adding a portrait mode, or we have added portrait mode to Teams Display to support the new devices from Neat and a few other vendors that are coming out with multiple different form factors. So I'm not going to dig into Teams Display. All I'm saying is if you've been sleeping on Teams Display, the fourth major Teams device type, wake up and start watching some videos. You don't have to buy one necessarily right now, but start watching some videos, read a couple docs articles, and get up to speed on what Teams Display is, because more is coming.
Well, so there's a couple of new devices. We've already spoke about the Jabra Panacast 20, that being one of the intelligent cameras that we spoke about.
Quick, it's the Panacast 20. It comes equipped with a 13 megapixel camera for 4K Ultra HD, which is irrelevant in team and really in online conferencing because it's 1080p is the standard, but it's cool. Along with powerful edge AI processing, driving intelligent zoom, intelligent lighting, picture in picture features. There's a lot of stuff coming with intelligent cameras beyond people counts. So we won't dig into that. We'll talk about that a little later when that starts coming to production, but intelligent cameras are doing some really cool things.
Yeah, and it's quite a small form factor, as you said before, for that camera. I'm just looking at the photo now.
Yeah.
Considering it does all that, it just from here. I'll put the link in the notes, but
there are already cameras out there that do this. So for those thinking, we have to buy brand new cameras, not necessarily. Probably in your nicer conference rooms, if you've purchased anything in the last, I don't want to give a time, year, let's say maybe. You may already have some intelligent camera features that will take care of a lot of this. If not, make sure if you're about to buy stuff, hit pause real quick. Ask your vendor, hey, do these cameras that we're buying in these rooms support these intelligent features for people count and that sort of thing?
It's saying it's a personal camera that knows exactly what you need when you need it. So there's some videos on the website, and it shows the difference between the two cameras, picture perfect. It looks like it can be a personal camera as well.
This next one, we got the Poly Studio Room Kit. In the description, it literally says the room kits provide a powerful Poly Director AI experience with auto camera framing technology, as well as room filling audio, and et cetera. So auto, Director AI, all this stuff is coming in this new wave of products. So if you're purchasing now or about to, hit pause, make sure. Price is always going to be a consideration. And depending on the room, small rooms, you may not need this at all. But mid-size, larger-size rooms, you may want to hit pause and make sure you're buying the latest. There's a new generation coming out right now. It's in the market now. Make sure you're not buying last-generation stuff. If you don't need, if you need these new features, make sure you're buying this current generation, not the last generation. Which the last generation stuff, just to be fair, is great if you don't need these features.
It still continues to deliver great value for the customers and everything else. And one of the greatest things is some of these devices. I mean, we're talking about peripheral devices. If you want to take advantage of some of these new camera features, it's not a full rip or replace of the room. You're looking at, let me put in a new camera. Let me put in a new intelligent speaker. Let me put in something new. So you're not, you're not sort of sitting there and saying like some other manufacturers of room systems where, you've got to be able to do this. You've got to take out and you've got to rip out the whole room. They're peripheral devices that can actually be interchangeable at that point as well.
Yeah, quite possibly. Just keep the USB cable that's already there. Unplug the camera, plug it into the new USB cable, and
that's it.
Maybe go into the admin on your console and go, use this camera, and off you go.
And again, to your point, Michael, I mean, some of this new technology and everything else, all right, let's do that in the new rooms. The old rooms continue to work and continue to deliver great value for you in your team's digital workflow in the office.
Is there an easy way to know? You spoke about old rooms, new rooms. Is there a sort of a Gen 1, Gen 2, or a way of finding on Teams on the devices page which ones, or is it the latest is the latest and the old are the old? Or
it's really the peripheral side, right? The computes and things like that, they haven't really
changed with the
omission of the Surface Pro 2. That they used to put in for the dots, things like that. All of the new stuff is really built on systems that are still grabbing updates, feature updates and roadmap updates and things like that. Really what we're talking about when we talk about the new generation of things are the peripherals that are delivering the new value.
Okay, so that camera, speaker, intelligent speaker. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you can still perhaps look to reuse the compute power and the console, but change the peripheral.
Displays, everything, right? And you just swap out the microphone, swap out the camera, or not.
I think that's all for devices that I've got in there. On the calling side, end-to-end encryption for one-to-one Teams calls is now released and GA. I think I spoke about that before in a previous episode, but that's now available. You need to turn that on if you want to utilize that feature, so you can have end-to-end encryption for Teams to Teams audio video calls. So there's a good blog post on that. And in the US, more relevant for you too and others, is E911 for US-based users, which I think is a change for home, perhaps with home working, and where you can define your location, which I think is that, was there a new law that came in this year?
I don't know if it's a new law, but people don't think about these things until they need to use them. And it's an important feature to actually have. And everything, you know, people back in the Skype days when they were configuring their Skype servers, they always got annoyed that they had to actually define their location or define something like that, because it would pop up that error. You haven't defined your location yet. Where are you? And things like that. But again, people don't think about it until it becomes something of an emergency. And that's the kind of thing that everybody's trying to make sure of, is that, number one, the compliance is big. But number two, if there's an emergency, God forbid, something is happening, let's make sure that everybody who needs to know knows. And that's what it's really based upon.
Yeah, it says this, allowing for auto-detection of locations or the ability to provide an editable location to alert personnel in the event of an emergency. So
yeah,
to enable this feature, administrators must enable the dynamic E911 for the user. And users must consent. So check out the documentation if you want some
updates. Can I send this conversation sideways for a second?
You can.
I like that this screenshot on this blog article shows, for no apparent reason, the Windows 11 desktop menu bar.
It does.
I'm like, is this a subtle marketing? Like, hey, look, it's Windows 11. But then it's like, but will this work on Windows 10? Yes. But I just, you know.
I have seen a few screenshots with that creeping in.
Yeah, and I'm like, when I ever do my screenshots, I try to not focus on anything other than just like the Teams app. And like, interesting, but I wonder if that's, and then of course all the Office icons on the bottom. I'm like, is this marketing going all in on marketing? We're going big time. We're showing everything. How much Microsoft stuff can we show in one screenshot without diluting the main point of the screenshot?
Yeah,
where's Clippy? Where's like Clippy pointing? Like, this is the section you should be looking at.
He's got his own emoji now, I think.
Are you trying to update your emergency location? Do you need help?
Well, while we're going sideways, why don't we talk about, if they change the desktop image, all of those screenshots will now have to change as well.
So many screenshots have to change. Oh, one random thing on Teams Rooms. The Cortana icon is currently a microphone. It is changing to the little purple circle. So
her brand.
Just because I mentioned your name, you didn't have to speak up.
Yeah.
So they're changing it to the purple circle, the standard Cortana image. Zip it. The standard her image. Man, I know you can't answer this one. Anyway, I have to update all my screenshots show now the new icon. So anyway, if you have Teams Rooms, the console with her showing up. She's changing from a microphone to her normal clothing, her purple circleness.
And it's. I did get some customers that were upset at the last screenshot change because they had done training documentation and things like that and everything else. You know, I know that we make the best effort to get information out there. If it seems so minimal to some people to be able to change that and everything else, but it does have a direct impact on a lot of people down the chain. So don't think that you as a partner or somebody else that doesn't have to say something. The more we say it, don't expect that everybody's watching all of the information the same way that we are.
And I missed one off the devices, actually. I think there was an important Android update, as I understand. For emergency calling or something, so it sounded like it was pretty important.
Oh, this is the Android phones issue, the mobile phones, where if you had Teams installed and you dialed 911, the emergency number in the US, for an emergency call, the call wouldn't go through. So
that was between the Teams app and Android.
There's a conflict between.
Present in
and I don't know. We had devices. And Google came out and they took some of the credit for the problem. We came out and took some of the credit. So I get the impression that maybe Android exposed an API in a way it wasn't supposed to be used, and we used it. And Google's like, oh, crap, we shouldn't have exposed that. And Teams is like, oh, wait, we should not use it that way, apparently. So I think both came out and pushed updates to fix that.
But even another Android update on devices, Poly got their HDMI ingest. Yes. So that came out recently as well on their Android devices, which was a big big thing for a lot of customers as well. So.
It says that that issue is only present on a small number of devices with the Teams app installed when the user is not logged in. Small.
Yeah, it's like we were hooking niche. Something and maybe intercepting the 911 dial pattern, and you're not signed in, so we can't make. I don't know what the details are. I'm just guessing. I should stop talking.
So the big recommendation is go and update to the latest version via the Google Play Store. So if you are using that and you're using the Teams app when you're not logged in on Android, just make sure you've got the latest version there. And there is a blog post on the tech community. I'll put that in the notes as well. And the only one was SIP Gateway, which we spoke about in last episode. So
I got it working using your instructions.
You did. I saw a YouTube video thing.
It's a little bit of work trying to, you know, downloading this, installing that. I think you can do it a lot easier. I think if you are into one of the phone ecosystems, I think the way to go is using provisioning servers.
Yeah.
So you can then just bulk push down that updated firmware or ROM image to all your devices, because doing it manually is tedious. And if you have hundreds of phones, can do some lab testing with 5 phones and a provisioning server from whichever vendor you're using. And I think you can speed up this migration way faster than doing it manually.
Yeah, because it does require the minimum firmware plus some config into the phone, doesn't it? So doing it en masse would, you can add some DHCP settings in as well, can't you? So ones and twosies is okay, but en masse definitely needs to.
Yeah, I saw that DHCP setting, which I didn't dig into, but no, that looks like another thing to automate. So if you're interested in using SIP Gateway, and for those who didn't on the last episode, SIP Gateway lets you take, let's call them legacy phones, non-native Teams phones. Including Cisco phones, some Cisco phones and a few other ones, and convert them to low-feature Teams phones. So you can basically do the basics. You can make phone calls, receive phone calls, send them to voicemail, forward calls. A few more things are coming, but if that's all you need, just basic phone calling, you can now convert them to native Teams phones.
Yeah, I did see on Twitter, I was in a conversation about call queue support. Apparently, it doesn't work if conferencing mode is enabled on a call queue. But with SIP phones, we don't specifically call out call queue support. It works with non-conference mode, doesn't work with conference mode. But when you look in the notes, there is a thing about joining meetings and auto join. So if you want to auto join a meeting or get somebody to add you to a meeting, it won't automatically join at the moment. So, but it definitely is just calling capability. It's not it hasn't got the features of a proper Teams phone device. But if you've got lots of handsets you want to bring, perhaps in the interim, it's a good solution. There was an ask. I think there's more and more coming with SIP Gateway as well, but I think it will just be focused on calling capability. None of the super duper features that are in the Teams phone.
Super duper features.
Yeah, that's how I'll describe it. Right, that's all I've got there. I don't know if you guys have got anything else for today.
I don't want to talk about that. I'll talk about it next time. I don't know. I think that's all I have right now. Jimmy, you got anything? Any hot items over in your side of the operation?
Nothing really that we're doing. Michael, I know that you and I spoke about, again, the NTD AMA, sort of cross promotion here, the NTD AMA, we've got now the Asia Pacific time zone episodes as well. So we sort of expanded it. We don't record that like you guys do here. But we have now 2 episodes, one for the Americas and Europe and one for the Asia Pacific time frame. And we're hoping that we're actually going to launch an internet calendar too, and put different things for people that are interested in devices and things like that, such as Martin Comsverse over there, Teams Friday. Let's make sure that, that we have a calendar that actually puts up things and alerts people that want to learn more about devices and make sure that everybody knows where we get the information from. So
can anyone join the AMA?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody can join the AMA. Absolutely.
Put that in the notes as well.
It's a good community where it's just out there, and it's a live show. It's even just a Teams meeting. You're coming on and you're actually joining. We ask you to go on mute. If you got questions, put them in the chat. Then we ask people to come off mute and let's talk about things and let's get the community going. So it's a good place to, number one, learn, and number two, I learn every time that I'm on there, but just get people together that are really doing this. Let's make sure that we talk about the issues that people are running into, and let's make sure that they know about new things that are out there, so they're not struggling with things like the UI that we spoke about today. Let's just make sure that everybody's aware of what's actually going on. Same thing we're doing here.
Yep. And the next ones I'm looking at, I just went to the webpage. Is 24th January at 5 p.m. UK time, noon Eastern Standard Time on January 24th. And then the 25th at 5:30 p.m. AEDT. I'm not sure what that one is. Australia, Asia, Eastern Daylight, whatever AEDT I've never heard is. Of that. But if you're in that part of the world, you will know what AEDT is. So that'll be the 25th. For our friends in Asia and Australia. And it was kind of cool that I did join the Asia Australia one. Then people were joining from, like, say, Europe. So it was, 7 a.m., 6 or 7 a.m. But it's like, hey, I work early, and they joined. So for some people, maybe 5 p.m. UK time, they got to pick up the kids or whatever. But maybe 7 a.m. Asia time works better. That's Australian Eastern Daylight Time. So my wild guess was moderately accurate.
All right. There you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, guys. I've got a dash, as always, on a Friday to go pick up the kids from school. So thank you very much.
That's why you would join then the even though you're in Europe, you would join the Asia. The Australia Asia call.
No worries. Thanks so much, guys. I'll speak to you soon. All right.
Thanks, Martin.
Happy New Year, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.